Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we're continuing here in 2 Samuel. We've got to chapter 12 and verse 13. Of course, Nathan the prophet comes and brings David the bad news, pronounces judgment upon him from the Lord for his sin in adultery and murder. Some time has passed, obviously. And we'll see what David says to Nathan. And David said unto Nathan, verse 13 of chapter 12, I have sinned against Yahuwah. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Listen to that. God put away his sin. You know, as far as the east is from the west, so are thy sins put away from me. And I will remember them no more. But if you'll notice, David still had to suffer in his mortal existence, in this life, the repercussion of his sin. Yes, we do. It's not a light thing that we break God's law. You know, I have a lot of people, they differ with me because I love God's law. And I know that the sacrificial law has been fulfilled in Christ, that we don't have to slaughter the blood of bulls and goats and rams and the whole priest sacrifice, temple sacrifice system, or priest tabernacle sacrifice system, has been done away with. It was done away with when Yahshua, Jesus, on that cross cried, it is finished. And the temple and the veil was rent from top to bottom. In the middle of the week, he put an end to the sacrifice. He was the messenger of the covenant, as proclaimed by the prophet. But still, David had to suffer the repercussions of his sin. As I was saying, I have a great regard. I love God's law. It's holy, it's just, it's pure, it's true, it's good, and it's good for us if we can obey it with our whole heart, knowing that he gave it to us as the Messiah proclaimed, so that we would know how to love God and to love our neighbors ourselves. And I refer you to the New Testament, where Yahshua, Jesus, was asked the question, what are the great commandments, or what is the great commandments? And he replied, thou shalt love the Lord your God, and thou shalt love your neighbors yourself. And he said, on these two, that is loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, do the law and the prophets hang? And what he was saying is that the law and the prophets, the commandments, without loving God and loving your neighbor, they fall. In other words, I take that to mean that if we want to know how to love God and love our neighbor, that we need to look to God's word and his law. He gave it to us to teach us how to love God and love our neighbor. If we love God and we love our neighbor without his word and his law, in other words, if we don't do it his way, then we fail. If we keep the law without loving God and loving our neighbor, we fail. You can't have one without the other. If you don't love God, the law doesn't work for you. It works against you, because then you're keeping it out of some obligation. You're earning your way into heaven. But if you keep his law because you love God, then your desire is to please him because you love him, and keeping his commandments follow because you want to please him. And then we find in the law, in his commandments, how to properly love our neighbor as ourselves. And I love the whole law, and yes, a lot of people harangue on me about the dietary law, and some make fun of it by talking about eating pork and pig and unclean meats and foods. And you know what? I say, that's fine. You're not going to lose your salvation because you do that. But what I have learned from God's word is that you will suffer the consequences of ignoring his law in your flesh. Now, the consequences won't be as severe as adultery and murder. It may be just the loss of your health. That seems to be the consequence. And maybe the loss of the health of your loved ones and your children and your grandchildren because of learned behavior. And then when you start disregarding the law and making compromises about his commandments, where does it end? Will my children Will they move the line a little bit more? And how about their grandchildren? Will they move the line a little bit more? So we need to, even if it comes to the dietary law, you know, another thing that the Messiah says, he said, whoever keeps the least of these, no, he said, whoever breaks the least of the commandments and teaches men so, he shall be least in the kingdom of God. Now, this is from Yahshua, the Messiah, Jesus' mouth himself. He said it. Let's say it again. So he differed. He said there were least commandments. And what would least commandments be? Well, that would be like the dietary law. And that would be my own estimation, because he did not outline them for me. So, but he left it for us to figure out. And the least commandments are things that perhaps only harm myself, that don't involve hurting my neighbor. And adultery hurts my neighbor. It hurts the one I'm committing it with. It hurts the family, the father or the mother or the husband of the wife I'm committing adultery with. And it hurts my whole family. And the repercussions, as we see, are very severe for adultery and murder. Those are not least commandments. Least commandments are things like not keeping the Sabbath. I would say that's a least commandment. Eating unclean foods, that's a least commandment. So you get the idea of what is a least commandment and what is not. I don't believe that our Heavenly Father, when Jesus gave us, when he talked about that and gave us that term, least commandments, I believe he didn't differentiate, because I don't believe that he really wanted to marginalize any commandments or give us license to ignore part of the law. I think that would be against his point. But he said, whoever breaks the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. And you know, when I read that, after coming to the conclusion that I loved God so much that I wanted to do only what pleases him, and I started looking into his law, and that stuck out so that I couldn't ignore it when he said that, I decided there and then that I have a choice. The Messiah, in those words, gave me a choice. He said, you can be least in my kingdom, or you can be great in my kingdom. Now, to me, it's a no-brainer. I don't care about being great in this world. This is only temporary. It's all going to fade away. Everything I have is falling apart, including my own body. No matter how much I keep the law and supplement and try to live right, it's still a losing battle, because my flesh, I shall surely die, but I will be raised from the dead. And while I'm in this mortal existence, I am living in his kingdom. The world doesn't see it. It's not the kingdoms of this world. It's invisible to them. It's the mystery of the kingdom of heaven that the world can't see. That's where I want to be great. And his kingdom is the only kingdom that lives forever. So if I have a choice between being the least in his kingdom or being the greatest in his kingdom, and I'll say one of the greatest, because there's going to be a lot of great people in this kingdom, and perhaps I'll be the least among the greatest. My head isn't that big. I'm sure there are a lot more greater men than me walking the planet right now, and that have walked on this planet. And I look to them and have been mentored by some of them. And I am being mentored by them through the word of God to this day, even David himself. I learn from their strengths and I learn from their weaknesses. So make the decision. Do you want to be least in his kingdom? You know, we got the side over there. You got a meter, and on one side of the meter you have the least. They're in the kingdom. That's fine. They're just least in his kingdom. So even in his kingdom, we're going to have the greater and the lesser, you know. And we get to choose, because Yahshua, the Messiah, gave us a choice, because he said there will be the least in the kingdom and there will be the greatest. You choose. I've made my choice. Let us continue here in 2 Samuel. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Of course, the death penalty was called for both adultery and murder. And the court in David's day, well, there was no one to bring a case against him for adultery. And the murder, well, probably could not be proved in a court of man beyond the shadow of a doubt. All that could be proved without a man testifying against himself, so we do get these principles from the Word of God, is that Nathan was slain in battle. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed out of his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted, and went and lay all night upon the earth. Even in bringing his petition, even with the judgment, David still does not hesitate to bring a petition before the Lord and fast and pray for this child that it might live. Still, and this is an insight into David's heart, how he always looked and always turned to the mercy of God. He there besought God for the child, and David fasted and went and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of the house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day. So here he is, he's fasting and he's praying 7 days without food. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of Yahuwah and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Now this is David's confession of his belief in the resurrection of the dead. This child, under his covering, regardless of the circumstance, this was his child, born of his wife. Yes, God did recognize this marriage. It was a lawful marriage, regardless of the sin that it sprang from. This child was under his coverture. This child David will know and will see in the resurrection. I also share this with David, that I have a child that died. Well, my child died in the womb, and I will see that child in the resurrection. I had hoped to see that child in this life, and have had shared that joy that I've shared with all of my children in this life. David says, but now he's dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. God answered David's prayer. The child died. His judgment stood. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet. Oh, I skipped a verse there. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went into her and lay with her. And she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. Now, we have 2 years have passed, basically, between the sin of David, the murder, because we have a child born. We have time passed, 7 days from the time that the child was sick. We don't have an exact how old the child was when it was turned sick, but it was fairly young, probably infant. And David has another son by Bathsheba. and his name is Solomon. And it says, and Yahuwah loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. And I'm not sure I understand that. Well, let's continue. And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. Now, therefore, gather the rest of the people together and camp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. And David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold, and the precious stones, and it was set on David's head. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance. And he brought forth the people that were therein, and put them under saws, and under harrows of iron, and under axes of iron, and made them pass through the bricklin. And thus did he unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. And I don't see, what is bricklin? Brickwork. So he put them to labor. He made them saws and workmen for Israel. Chapter 13 and verse 1 of 2 Samuel. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. And of course, this is his half-sister, not the sister, the sister of his mother, but the sister of his father, one of the other wives being the mother of Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So Amnon was vexed, he fell sick, and of course, I guess the term would be perhaps lovesick. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah and David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said to him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father come to see thee, say to him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. You see how it goes. David's sin is now infecting his very family, infecting his sons. He lay down sick because this thing that he's seeking to do is, of course, against God's law. It's written in the law. We went through it. Leviticus, Deuteronomy. It's all there. The laws against incense that were given to Israel. So Amnon lay down, made himself sick, and when the king was come into him, Amnon said to the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may not eat at her hand. Now, if David was not blinded by the curse that was put on him and his family, the repercussion of his own sin in his flesh, and the repercussion that is moving throughout his whole family. If he had not brought that upon himself, he would have seen right through this ruse of his sons and corrected his son. But he was blind, his son is blind, and he's still blind. The repercussion. Oh, we need the mercy of our Heavenly Father. And I pray for his mercy, because I've done wrong in my life. We all have done wrong. And when I read about the repercussions here of David's sin, this is a warning. This is an exhortation for all of us. We need to rely and lean upon God's law and his mercy wholly, and learn to walk in his ways. We need to desire correction. We need to desire to learn obedience. Teach us obedience, Heavenly Father. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, And she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, "Have out all the men from me." And they went out, every man from him. And Amnon said to Tamar, "Bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand." And Tamar took the cakes, which she had made, and brought them into the chamber of Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, "Come, lie with me, my sister." And she answered him, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee." And we'll pick up there and we'll amplify that a little bit more when we get back from our break here. Do stay tuned for the news.